Tim's, believe it or not, Tim has a bashful side. We all know that Galen has a bashful side. But Tim and Galen are off to Mexico the end of this coming week. And they're going to be ministering or doing something down there, hammering nails and screwing screws and fixing things, I expect. But you might remember them also in prayer. For those of you visiting maybe or don't know us very well, we're a sort of fluid church. That's why sometimes we have a lot of people and other times not so many. But we have people coming and we have people going, and the mission field is a vision that we have and we enjoy. So we ask you, please, to pray. Pray for David and Evia, and pray for Tim. Paulette's going with him, aren't you? You're allowed. And he needs somebody to wind the engine up to make the car go. And Galen and Kathleen, you're going with him. And are there more in that crew? Just the four of you? Oh, don't pray for them. They're odd. Yeah. Okay. And their name, do you know?
His name is Bunky, but I can't. He's the guy that donated the four-wheelers for our fall festivals the last couple of years.
I'm writing a letter of thanks.
Craig Miles.
Okay. Craig Miles. I'm writing a letter of thanks to him. Will he donate one to the pastor here? Anyway. So that's what we... it took a long time.
My wife says, sell or trade your horse.
You know, it's one thing to have to deal with Tim and his hate for horses, but to know it's a family disaffection. Amber, how do you manage with this? Where are you, Amber? I saw her somewhere. Anyway... And when do you go to Cambodia?
In 3 weeks.
3 weeks. We've got another group going out to Cambodia in 3 weeks. Quite a few of you, aren't there? Six?
We sent them on ahead to see how they fare. And then
test the water.
And they were a sacrifice for willing to make.
Well... So that's what happens. There's a story that is beautiful, and I want to share it with you very quickly, so I'll not do it justice, and I know that, so you can criticize, but it's a story that I think you need to be reminded of. This story happened quite some time before Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and it concerned King Xerxes. And it concerned Esther, a young, beautiful woman, who said, and the key words in the Authorized Version are, "And if I perish, I perish." Let me explain what I'm talking about. If a wife wanted to go to visit the king, and she was the queen, she had to get permission. That's kind of a novel idea nowadays. And so I suppose in our day it's reversed. It's the wife that has the headaches and you have to appeal to visit. But it was reversed to that at that time. And he would offer his scepter, which was a long thing about yay long, weighed several pounds. And it was for thumping people on the head, really. It was a weapon, but his was ceremonial and most likely was either solid gold or there was an enormous amount of gold and gems in it. And he would hold, sitting on his throne, he would hold it forward to her and she would be able to touch the scepter, which meant that she could now spend some time talking to her husband, the king. And as she got involved in that, she would be able to say whatever it was that was on her mind. A good way of keeping the discussion down a bit. So that was the situation. And Queen Esther was a very young girl. We reckon about 15 years old. Maybe more, but not much. Very, very beautiful. So beautiful that when she went from the harem, everybody sort of caught their breath when they saw her, and the king's breath was taken away when he saw her, and she found favor in the king's eyes. She had an uncle, and his name was Mordecai, and they had an enemy, though they didn't recognize the enemy very quickly. His name was Haman. And Haman had a real hatred for Jews. So Haman's nasty mind turned around, and at the beginning of all of this, which is very important for us to understand, there was a time coming up that was going to be called Purim. The Hebrew word for P-U-R, pure, was it meant, and I've forgotten. What was it? No. I don't know. It went out of my head. Sorry. I'll think of it later on. And today, the Jewish people still have the celebration of Purim, and it's a two-day affair. They start on the 14th of the month of Adar, and they carry it through to the 15th, and they have lots of joy. And the Roman Catholic Church picked this up and put it into a time called, can you guess? Christmas. And so we give gifts at Christmas, and the Jews give gifts at Purim. Purim is the time of Adar, the month of Adar, is the time of December, as we would call it. And so they incorporated this in the Christian calendar into Christmas. So we give gifts, we have a lot of dancing and laughter and a lot of revelry and partying. That's what the Jews did. They liked that. Now, if you start to unscramble all these bits, put them together, you hear how it is that this story starts to develop. Haman hated the Jews. And he went to the king and he said, King, let's get rid of these Jews. Now, the reason he hated Jews was because though he was quite somebody, and at least in his own eyes, and he sat at the gate of the king's gate, the gate of kings, he was really upset that this Jew, Mordecai, wouldn't bow down and kiss his toe or his finger, or he wouldn't even bow. In fact, Mordecai, if he was in the same street, would cross over and go a different way. So we have this animosity developing, excuse me, between these two men. A little bit earlier, Mordecai had come across a plot to kill the king, to assassinate the king. So he sent word to the king and he said, look, these two fellas are sitting in the king's gate, and if you go through, they're going to bang you on the head and get rid of you. The king thanked him, found the two men, and banged them on the head. And the king was grateful. But the king did nothing about it, didn't reward him, didn't say anything to him, just said, hey, thanks. And so, there's the situation. So Haman goes to the king and says, let's get rid of the Jews. I don't like Jews. Now, if you look at this, King Xerxes, he was the king from India all the way through what we know as, oh dear, Persia. Something died in my throat this morning. All the way through into Persia, and he had an enormous kingdom. 127 countries were his. And so the argument went to the king, and Haman was told, yeah, you can do that. Here, take my ring, my signet ring, write what you want to write, send it to the 127 countries, and seal it with my seal, and don't bother me with anything else, kill all the Jews. So they chose the 13th of December, I'll shorten it down to that, to kill all the Jews. And they sent this word all through these countries. We're going to kill the Jews. Well, the Jews were pretty upset, as you can imagine. And if you look at the Jews of today in Gaza and in Jerusalem and in the rest of Israel as we know it today, you can see that they get pretty frustrated by being pushed down and down and down. So Mordecai gets word of this, and he calls his niece, whom he's looked after because she was orphaned. He calls her and he says, look, go to the king and tell him to reverse this issue. And she said, I can't. He doesn't ask for me. He hasn't asked for me for 30 days. He hasn't asked me to come and visit him in all that time. And how can I get to him? Mordecai says, well, you do it anyway. And she said, all right, but, you know, for my country, for my people, I'll do it, but I'm not comfortable. Whether I perish or I perish, it's my problem, I suppose. I'm born for this. And Mordecai said to her, you're here to die for your people. So she had a time working this out. She didn't know how to go about it. She talked to her uncle and she went to the king. And the king said, oh, come on in. He had forgotten that she was there, although she was very beautiful and all that stuff. He had forgotten she was there. And he said, oh, come over here. Sit here beside me. And she did. He said, what do you want? You ask me anything you want, I'll give you half my kingdom. I might have been tempted. I'll give you half of my kingdom. Oh. She says, well, I got a deal. Can we slow that up a bit? Well, how do you want to slow it up? I want to have lunch with you. And can we ask Haman to come and have lunch with us at the same time? The king sort of says, well, sure. Okay. So they have lunch. The king at the end of the lunch says, now, what is it you want? She said, I want to slow it up a little bit. Can we come to lunch tomorrow? And I'll tell you exactly what I want to do. Okay. So he and Haman went to lunch the second day. And they get in there and they're sitting there gorging themselves. Now, in the meantime, old Haman has been boasting to his family, boy, does the king like me, and the queen likes me, and I'm off to lunch with them for 2 days in a row. Well, think of that. I'm quite somebody. Well, everybody loves somebody, but I'm somebody. Ah. So he gets a false impression of himself. And he, in the meantime, has told his wife and family that he absolutely hates Mordecai. And they suggest to him that he builds a gallows, listen to this, 75 feet tall. All the town's going to see the poor fellow that's hanging on it. 75 feet tall. So he builds the gallows, and they make it so that they're going to hang Mordecai high up. So they come together and they get into this second lunchtime. And the queen says, I want to talk to you about this business of killing all the Jews. Oh, what's the problem? Well, I'm a Jew. And he didn't know that. I know everybody that's a Jew is to be exterminated throughout your kingdom. Oh, I says, shouldn't do that. The king has quite a dream. He dreams about everything, and he can't sleep, and he gets up and he walks around the place and he says to his courtiers, bring me some of the notes that we've had about what we've been doing and read them to me. And say they read to him the story, the fact that these two fellows had tried to assassinate the king. Mordecai had told him about that. They bumped them off and the king was safe and not assassinated. And the king said, did we ever reward him? No. Oh, he said, that's an oversight. So he says to Haman, what should I do to honor a man? Oh, Haman says, that's easy. Thinking that he was going to be honored. He says, well, you should put one of your robes on his back and put some jewelry on him, and you should give him some a scepter to carry, and you should give him the best horse in your stable, and you should put him on the horse, and you should ask someone important to walk before him and to say, this is what the king does to reward those that help the king. King said, a good idea. So after breakfast, the king says, get the horse, here's the clothes, bring in Mordecai. Can you imagine the chap's embarrassment? He thought it was for him. Oh my. And he has to lead the horse with Mordecai on the horse, all dressed up and nowhere to go. Here he sits on the horse and Mordecai is enjoying himself because Haman is leading him through the city. And when he's finished leading him through the city, in a very unceremonial way, Haman runs home and cries and beats the air and tells his wife and goes to lunch with the queen and the king. And he learned a lesson of humility, I think. Oh, he was shattered. What a start. What a terrible position to be in. How embarrassing. So the king says to Esther, well, who plotted all this against the Jews? Well, she said, you signed the papers by giving your signet ring, and Haman here organized it all. He said, hang Haman on his own gallows. So they hung Haman on his own gallows. Isn't that terrible? Then they found his sons and they hung them with him as well. So 75 feet in the air, here are the bodies of his four sons and himself. And he really thought he was into something. And why I'm telling you all this is because there's always something new. And you're starting this new year. And in this new year, you have an opportunity to set things right and do things right and change some things in your life. Now, I'm not borrowing from Mr. Obama's lectures or whatever they were, speeches, but we need to change. And we need to get into this new year changing things. We need to change our attitudes. We need to change where we're going. Maybe our vision needs to change. Maybe our hearts need to change. Maybe there is in this congregation people who think or have given the impression that they love the Lord Jesus, but they've never said so. And that needs to change. We need to come to a place where we get rid of the old and the sin and all the puffiness and all the cleverness. And we need to get to the place where we are humble before God and we are crying out before Him. Those of you that could meet on Wednesday, we prayed for Evan. Today, Evan is doing okay. It's early days. I have no doubt he will do very well. I expect him to be a normal young man that will bash around with all you other little toddlers as you get taller. And I expect him to be a young man that does everything he wants to do. I'm expecting, because God has said if we ask according to his will, he will do it. And he said, suffer little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And that's a great thing that we did on Wednesday. Don't get puffed up, because it's another Wednesday and we're going to pray for Israel, and not everybody likes that. We need to change. There's some dirty washing in our hearts that needs to be hung 75 feet high, out the way. There's some realignment that needs to happen. Mordecai became one of the most influential men in this entire kingdom, even almost more influential than the king himself. God will bless the man that honors God. Would you like to be that man or woman? You may be. Your call. Your call. So as we look at this new year and we share the 12 times at least that we will have communion together, let's share the love of Jesus with one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's be in each other's hearts. Ask different people in the congregation, is all well with your soul? Are you okay? Ask. I know you're going to get some, oh.
Yeah, we're fine.
But every once in a while, someone's going to say to you, no, I'm really hurting. Things are not good. I need prayer. Oh, what a privilege. You can go home and pray for that person, that family. Pray for one another and bear the burdens of each other. Bear the burden. Bear the burden. Oh, friend of mine, he got himself into a jam money-wise. And I said to my son, can we bear the burden? My son said, not our responsibility. Said, well, can we bear the burden? Not our responsibility. I said, can we bear the burden? Yeah. What a joy, what a privilege to bear a burden. I was going up the side of a mountain one day. My pack weighed 90-some pounds. I was young, I could carry it. But there was a younger man than I came along and said, hey, pastor, let me have your pack for a half an hour. Give you a half hour's break. I let him take it. I said, it weighs 90, oh, that's okay. Oh, I said, that's fine then, here, take it. He put that pack on, and, didn't think 90 pound weighed this. Oh, I said, you'd be fine for half an hour. within 5 minutes, he was checking his watch. Wow. He said, it's like listening to some of your sermons. and he bore my burden to the top of the mountain. Other fellows wanted to get in the act. I let them. Why not? Bear my burden. You got burdens? Yeah? I don't know what they are. You may not want to share them with me, but you'll share them with another. Share with each other the burdens that are bringing you down and making you sour and making you negative and making you whatever it is that isn't very glorifying, because we're winners. We were sinners, now we're winners. We're alive in Jesus, so get up and walk where nobody walks. Oh, what a privilege. Huh? Well, got to stop. But I wanted to say that to you. Let me share this. I was reading in the scripture that Jesus is the light of the world. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the shepherds were on the side of the hills, and they saw this great light, and they saw this great brilliance, and they saw the glory of the Lord, and angels sang. Wow! Ever heard that? Nor have I. Wouldn't it have been fantastic? And they sang, glory to God in the highest, goodwill to men. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Peace on the earth. Isn't that terrific? They sang. And that was the beginning of a light that expired 400 years ago. Because Ezekiel says, I beheld the glory go out of the tabernacle up into heaven. Or rather, out of the temple, up into heaven. And it was a terrible thing. Israel lost its glory. It was gone. The glory was gone. And here is Jesus, a tiny light, a little baby, a tiny little baby, laying in a manger, and he is the light of the world. Now listen, when he was crucified, his light went out. And for 3 days, there was no light. At the end of 3 days, he rose again. And his light cannot be put out. John's the only one saying amen, but it ought to excite all of you. It should be a hallelujah day. The light has never gone out wherever the light of Jesus has shined. The son of one of the leaders of Hamas gave his testimony on American TV. Did you watch it? Wasn't it exciting? He loves Jesus, and he quit Hamas, and he quit all that they believe, and he's come to America. He's living in San Diego in a small fellowship there looking for a job. He was a prince. And God has lifted him up. One of the commentators said to him, aren't you frightened that you might be killed? He said, I'm in the hands of God. Boys and girls, if you want to go to church outside, you can go out there, but it'll be a short time. This is the time to go. Let's bow in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we pray that you will bless this time as we take this bread and remember you through the bread, being the bread of life. And we ask that as we take this cup and we remember the blood, we may understand that through the shedding of blood is the remission of sin. And that you will remind us what a privilege to start the year in fellowship together. Around your word, in your word, and with these emblems. Will you bless everyone here, Lord? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you again what is written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle said, you know, I'm not the least of the apostles. I'm just the same as the other fellas, because Jesus revealed himself to me, but in a different way. I didn't walk with him and talk with him like they did, but he spoke with me. And he said in the 11th chapter of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verse 23, he said, I've received, now this is what happened to me, and this is my testimony, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. We all know what that says. Will you examine your heart? All of you, dear young people, will you? All of those of you who are a little older, will you examine your heart today? You dear people, will you? Will you look into your heart and examine it and discover, is there any wicked way in me? The psalmist says, as he prays before the Lord, he says, examine me, look at me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Maybe you don't call it wicked anymore. Got another name for it. I slipped up. I spoke wrongly. Whatever. Will you examine your heart now, that you may start this year loving this congregation? Will you? Let's bow in prayer. Most gracious God, what a joy and privilege you've given to us to share with one another the gift of grace. And as your grace is sufficient for our every experience, we pray that you will get hold of us and hold us gently but very, very firmly, and cause us to quietly come close to you. O Lord God Almighty, draw us nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to that precious wounded side. Be thou the bread of life. Feed us till we want no more. Hold us with your hand. Bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Men, would you come forward and help me, please? Now, if you love the Lord Jesus, there's no reason why you shouldn't take part in this. But if you don't know or love the Lord Jesus, just pass these things past you, and nobody will be critical at all. Please, thank you. Would you serve, please? Lord Jesus, we read on that night, took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is a very precious place, Lord, that we stand in now. We remember that cross, that old rugged cross, that emblem, so wonderful, so terrifying. We simply come in your presence and ask, remind us of who we are in your sight. There's Tim and Paulette, Galen and Kathleen go to Mexico. Help them recount this moment of time as David and Evita go off to Latvia. Lord, help them to recount this moment and how they examined themselves in the congregation of the Lord. And how precious it was to put things right that weren't right. How desirable it was to be in your presence. As we ask for your blessing, as we take this cup, as we remember your blood poured out on our behalf, we are humbled beyond measure and thank you for your grace. We do so in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please serve. close. We read that after the same manner also, Jesus took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it." We're going to sing as a closing hymn, number 27. Don't stand up yet, these chaps have to collect our glasses. While you're doing that, let me say to you that the Lord is with us and we have been blessed of the Lord. 29 perhaps it is. Yeah, 29. Okay. 29 is the hymn. 29. The Lord has blessed us with many, many blessings. We have shared our money. We have shared ourselves with each other. And I'm saying to you with great love, let's keep on sharing. You see a need somewhere, you can't meet that need with someone, then talk to us. The fellows that were standing in the front here, and tell us about that need. I'm not saying we're going to meet it. I am saying we're going to pray over it, and we will see what the Lord will have us do. Let's share burdens. Let's share needs. This hymn